Blog Talk Radio.
Aloha and welcome to Talk Story Thursdays. My name is Crystal Kia Paul and I am your host today. Our show is a Hawaiian spirituality-based show. We talk about Keakua, Na'amakua, Na'akapuna, trusting in Keakua, trusting your Na'au. This week's title is Sowing Your Garden or Sow Your Garden. Our shows with a pule. For those of you that don't know what a pule is, it's a prayer. And in our prayer, we always honor the God, the one source, the spirit, the divine, whatever name you choose. In Hawaii, we call that one Keakua. And we also honor our ancestors, which is Na'akapuna, and our spirit guides, which is Na'amakua. So if you'll join me in a short, brief prayer so we can open up this beautiful space today, I really appreciate it. Mahalo, Keakua. Mahalo, Na'amakua. Mahalo, Na'akapuna. Thank you so much for opening this space and having us have this venue of Blog Talk Radio to do our show and to share our story with others so that way they can walk their path, whatever that may be. Whatever agreement they have with you, Keakua. I ask that each person that comes and listens to our show, whether it's live or on the replay, that they have an open mind and an open heart as we have opened up this space and in love, peace, wisdom, and joy. May they also be living a fulfilled life with grace and ease. Mahalo, Keakua. Mahalo, mahalo, mahalo. Okay, folks, today's a great day. Yeah, you only have me, and I'm in the chat room, so if you want to jump online and visit me on Blog Talk's chat room, we can sit and visit and chat there as well. Today's topic is sowing your garden. Springtime here in North America is all about preparing your soil, getting things ready so you can plant your fruits, your vegetables, your garden. And I wanted us to focus on planting garden, the one within our mind that helps create the life that we want to live, whether it be our thoughts, words, actions, deeds. Okay? So what are you planting in that spiritual garden? How are you working your spiritual garden? What are you doing to improve your situation? Before I jumped on air, one of my good friends reposted a picture on Facebook, and it is so perfect for today's show. If you keep telling the same sad, small story, you will keep living the same sad, small life. I know, we all have aches, pains, hurts, disappointments, upsets, low bank accounts, low job opportunities, low whatever, whatever. However, if you keep repeating that language and holding on to that story like it's a trophy or it's like a pin that you won at the fair, you're going to keep having that same story. Just changing your story within yourself will help change the story in your reality, in your life. I'm going to tell you a quick story. You know me, I love telling quick stories, which are actually not quick, they're long. A few years ago, my husband and I, he has an aquarium service business here in the North Texas area, and we work together. We were under a lot of stress just from different things going on, the business, traffic, the environment, and it was allowing us, we were allowing it to affect us. For about 3 to 4 months, every afternoon he and I would get into a fight on the way home. And it would, and our fights are just really words and disagreement type of a situation. I would jump out of the van, slam the door, go into the house, go to the bathroom, and have this conversation. I don't know why you effing blah, blah, blah. You know, I am so over. I am so done with this. This is just bogus. And the rant went on and on and on. So I did this pretty much almost every day that he and I worked together, because notoriously he would say something while we were working, which was different than the norm. And so we would get into it. So we're working through the difference of opinions. We're getting along really well. All of a sudden, about 6 months later, he asks me, "Honey, I really love you, and if you're not happy, I'll give you a divorce." But I never once told him I wanted a divorce. I never once said, "Honey, you know, it's not working out. Let's get a divorce." Never said that. That vocabulary did not come out of my mouth in the last 3 or 4 years. About 15 years ago when we were first married, that did come out of my mouth about wanting a divorce. But in the last few years, no. You know, our relationship, you know, we would work out whatever differences we had. So I asked him, "Where in the world did this come from? Because I thought we were good, and I thought things were, you know, we were working things through really well." And he says, "I don't know." He goes, "There's just a shift in the energy, and I don't think you like me." He goes, "I think you do love me, but I don't think you like me, and I don't want to be in a relationship if you and love me." And I had to do some really deep soul searching. And I'm getting emotional about it because I do have a little of emotional attachment to it still. Big breath. Sorry, guys. And I had to tell him, "I don't know where you're getting this from," because I really didn't think about how it, you know, how this conversation came through. And so as we continued talking and discussing why he thought I wanted a divorce and what was going on between us that he thought I didn't like him and, you know, but still loved him. And as we go through this communication, he says one buzzword, and I don't recall if it was something to the effect of, "I just thought you were done." It clicked so quickly in my head how I had been manifesting over, done, and through and not realizing it. But I was just angry at the time with him. In that moment, I was, as my friend Asar would call it, ven bitching. So now when I do have that moment of disagreement, because I still do the venting, but I purposefully say something to the effect of, "Kiakua, right now I am so angry with husband. I'm not sure, you know, how I can make him understand what I'm trying to explain to him or do or whatever. But please help me make me understand why he doesn't understand. So that way the conversation is not going to end up in a year with him going, 'Honey, do you want a divorce?' Because you have to honor the emotions where you're at so that way you can figure out where you want to go. But in my case, I just had that spitefulness and bitchiness going on that I decided in my mind that we were ending as opposed to wanting to work through it. So anyway, so fast forward. From that moment when I realized how much power, how much mana, because in Hawaii we call mana spirit and power, how much power my words had and my thoughts had, that I really consciously began shifting my thoughts. And we already knew this when everyone was struggling through the recession in 2008 through 2012. Our business was still growing and doing well. Why? Because we never once told our vendors, "Oh yeah, business is off. Oh my goodness, don't know what I'm going to do if I don't get another client." None of that. Every time we went to see go to a vendor to pick up supplies, they would ask, "How's business?" Our first response is, "It's great. We're so busy." And they were asking, "How is it that your business is busy and everybody else is floundering or going under?" And we would respond with, "Well, I'm not sure what they're doing, but we're very blessed. Keokua has us blessed, and we're very grateful." So I know how to manifest. I know how to create. But in taking for granted my relationship with my husband, I felt that I was never going to be in jeopardy of having a divorce. Let's put it that way. I just took it for granted. And so after my husband told me that, I started really doing some research on words that I use and their meanings and their beginning and that kind of thing. So now I consciously use words that are going to empower me, uplift me, and empower and uplift the people around me. But I still have to honor the negative emotions, because those are the ones that tell me, okay, you don't like this. So if you don't like it, what can you do to change it so you can be in more of a vibrational match of things that you do like? That's what those negative emotions are for. They're for you to figure out what it is that you don't like so you can change it. Which brings me back to the, if you keep telling the same sad small story, you will keep living the same sad small life. And we know that we're all destined for greatness no matter what it is. So when you're sowing your garden with thoughts of things that you'd like to do, things that you want to do, your bucket list per se of just life in general, you have to fill it up with positive, empowering, uplifting, enlightening, exciting things that you want to do. Yes, you're going to have some lulls, and things that don't work out perfectly. But that's the beauty of living this life. Because if it doesn't go exactly the way you think it should, you can change it. There's a plan A. You know, plan A is, okay, this is what I want. Well, it didn't quite go the way I wanted. So you go, plan B. Oh, that didn't work out exactly the way I want. Okay, let me ask. Keokua, I really, really, really want to do something else. So let's do a plan C or a plan D. And there's plenty of letters in the alphabet. When you run out of A's, go to double A, go to double B, or triple A, triple C, whatever the case may be, or A1, A2, A3. It's infinite. That's the beauty of living this life. I know parents are out there going, "Woman, I just want my child to get a job, move out, and be on their own and pick something." I'm so tired of people saying they have to pick one thing. That's right now I'm in the middle of reworking my website, and my coach says, "Well, you know, you're wanting to do this, but you have to just pick three things to describe yourself." Hello, I am more than three things. So how do I, you know, so I'm, and of course I'm the rebel child. I live in that world of Kanaloa, of always looking at different options and different ways of doing things. And so the buzzword is now innovator. Whatever that really means, but okay. So I'm going to go with innovator is maybe one of my three things as a description. But that's the same thing. Why do children have to pick one thing to be when they grow up? Why can't they be more than one thing? Aloha, guest 916. Thanks for logging in. We're all more than one thing. So let's not limit ourselves to that one thing. Maybe they need to find a career now that will help sustain their living capabilities and where they need to be, so that way they can truly get to be what they want to be when they grow up. whatever that looks like. I am not into limiting people's belief systems and their ability to do things. When Bill Gates started Microsoft, I'm sure he didn't have the intention of, well, when I start Microsoft and I make a little bit of money, I'm going to start doing X, Y, and Z. He just saw things that needed to be corrected, per se, and started making the shift and started changing to do more things to help the community, to help the environment, to help other people in other countries. We all want to be of service and help each other, and that all starts with us doing things at home, but sometimes we have to do what we call the grown-up thing, get the job, get the career. But that doesn't mean that we still can't help our neighbors. You know, we can volunteer at a food bank, at a homeless shelter, donate. You know, a lot of times we don't have time, but we have an extra few dollars, so we can donate that way. And that's one of those things that I love about like GoFundMe or the YouCaring or any of the other crowdfunding things out there, because if you don't have time or you're not able to go to another city or country to help these people that are needing help, but you can donate a couple of dollars. You know, and I'm not saying go broke, because that's insane as well, but you can always, you know, make a difference in a person's life by donating a few dollars. Here in the Dallas area, the local grocery stores have it so you can donate to the food bank. The food bank has huge buying power at buying below wholesale, that a dollar or $2 provides multiple meals compared to us buying, you know, a meal for a dollar or $2. So you have to look at the semantics of what's the best way your money's going to go to whatever cause you're into, or you see that touches your heart, touches your na'au. Your na'au is your inner guidance system, your knowing, that innate tool that you have of knowing that something is right and something is not right. So back to sowing your garden. So how does all of that have to do with sowing your garden? The thoughts that you put in your mind, in your environment, in your vocabulary that come rolling out of your mouth is what grows your garden of success. Your success and my success are going to be different things depending on what economic world system you may be in. Your success people may not think it's worthy of being graded as successful, but that's not for them to judge, because there's no judgment. It's for you to decide. Am I truly being successful by following my dreams and my goals? The only one that knows that is you. Are you happy? Are you blissful? Are you taking care of your business? Do you have a roof over your head? Are you some people prefer to be out in the country living a off-the-grid lifestyle. That's perfect. If that is you, then do it. If that is not you, and you're like me, I love living out in the country, but I do like my comforts of electric delivery and water delivery, then, you know, I'm at where I'm supposed to be. So there's all different purposes and all different parts of life that are perfect for everyone. There's no space in our rooms or of mind, in our mind, to judge what works for some and doesn't work for others. A few years ago, I heard of this thing called woofing, and I thought, at first it was kind of funny because I was sitting here thinking it was like a howler's club where people went and practiced howling, you know, woofers, right? You're thinking a wolf, W-O-L-F, woof. And I know that there's people that have competitions for yodeling, so I figured that's what a woofer was a person that howled and wolfed, you know, like a wolf. But that's not what a woofer is. A woofer, and I think this is really cool, and if they would have had this, or if I would have known about this when I graduated high school in the 80s, I probably would have done this. But a woofer is a person that goes to farms throughout the world, and they get to work on these farms. And that's what a woofer is. It's the worldwide opportunities on organic farms is what a woofer is. It's WWOOF. And if you do a Google search for woof, WWOOF, you will find that there's opportunities worldwide for you to be able to work on an organic farm. And there's opportunities in Hawaii, New Zealand, here in the United States, Costa Rica, Mexico, Europe. And when you sign up with these farmers, some of them pay you room and board. Some of them pay you room board and a small salary, just depending on what season it is. But you have an opportunity to visit another city, town, country, state, country. You have an opportunity to learn about organic gardening and the different challenges in all these different places. And yes, I am that hippie child that would have tried this had I known about it. And I am blessed because my husband came from a farm, so I know a lot about farming because of him. My mother worked as a migrant farm worker growing up as a child, so I know a lot about farming that way as well. So I've got already different perspectives, but I also have friends that are these farmers that hire these woofers, and I also get to know from their perspective what they're looking for in a woofer. And when I come across somebody that's interested in farming, I direct them to the websites. Go check out woofing. Woofing is a cool thing. And they all giggle at me because some of them know what a woofer is and some do not. But that is what a person is called that does the farming, a woofer. Again, thought it was had something to do with howling at the moon. But nonetheless, so sowing your garden with thoughts and action. So if you decide that there is something that you really, really want to do and you don't know how to do it, start writing it down on paper. What is it that I want to do? What do I want to say? What do I want to accomplish? How do I want to help people? How do I want to be of service? These are all thoughts and questions that I've been answering all my life. Yeah, and here in the last couple of weeks as I've been working to update my website to be more pure and authentic to myself and more pure and authentic to my community. So those are some basic thoughts of what to plant in your garden. You know, the basics of the when, where, why, how. There's supposed to be five of those and I only named off four. When, where, why, how. Oh, what? Yes, I'm giggling at myself. Thank God for my hands so that way I can figure out what I'm supposed to be saying. And those are all of those questions will help you decide what it is you want to be when you grow up, per se, and what it is you want to do, and what story you want to tell yourself. I had the beauty of working with a couple of clients a few weeks ago. God love them. They are just as cute as they can be. But they are holding on to some of their some of the things that are causing them to be in a victim role, like their trophies, you know, like it's the Olympic gold medal. And I told them, I says, let it go already. You know, you're not here to be in a victim role. You know, you can either choose to be a victim, which is that same sad story, or you can realize, hey, it was just an experience. Honor that experience and move forward. Okay, what did I learn? How can I move forward? What can I teach other people that so that way someone else doesn't have to go through that lesson? As some of you guys know, I'm a victim/survivor of domestic violence, ex-boyfriend, and as such, I understand the mindset that women get caught in of, I can't leave, he's the sole breadwinner, what am I going to do? And one of the biggest things that helped make me change my thought system when I was in the relationship with my ex is that I decided that I was going to be like Tina Turner. She was married to Ike Turner. He was very abusive. He was rude and ugly and other things as well. But they were in court fighting over scraps, as I put it. She came into court one day, decided all she wanted was her name, Tina Turner, because that is not her given name. And her attorney was freaking out, but wait, we're so close. And she goes, no, let them have it all. I just want my name. She took her name, Tina Turner, and has been a success, a woman that has been admired by other women and has taken her success, helped people in her community, helped herself, helped her children, and has moved forward. And at this point, I don't think she's looking back. But her husband was holding on to all of that bitterness and, well, you know, I made her. She wouldn't be anything without me. And instead of just letting all of that go, he held on to all of that. And his success was not that of at the same level as hers because she didn't hold on to any of that attachment. And that's those things that we have to think about when we're sowing our garden for our success. What are we willing to let go of so that way all the goodness comes inside, all the greatness, all the excellence, all that we want to happen? Because if we tell Kyoko, oh, you know, I really would like to get that job, but I only want to work 9 to 5 and I only want to do this and I only want to do that. And we're holding on to all of that attachment. Do you think you're really going to get that job? No. I don't think so. Well, actually, I know so. But if you go in there with, Keakua, I really, really would like this job. I think I'm great for this job because, and you list all the great reasons why you would be an asset to that company of, I'm a go-getter. I think quick on my feet. I'm fun. I'm a happy person. I have something to offer to the job as well as to my coworkers, because you do. Everybody has pieces of wisdom and knowledge that they can share with other people to help open and awaken their minds as well. And then you say something to the effect of, and if you think I'm a right fit for it, make it happen. All that other stuff is going to work out because Keakua already knows that you would really rather work 9 to 5, really would have like to only have the weekends off. You know, you're not really telling him all the stuff he doesn't already know. So instead of listing some of the manini details, get focused on some of the really great details, the great things about yourself. So that way, when you're sending it out to the universe, you're getting more of it. But you also have to show gratitude. Gratitude is the biggest key for a successful garden. If you're not meditating, meditate. And I know, I'm hearing the groans. I don't know how to meditate. I can't meditate. There's no way to get my mind to be still so I can meditate. And my all-time favorite of why I can't meditate. Oh my God, if I had an hour to meditate a day, don't you think I'd be sleeping? Hello, the joke's on you guys. It doesn't take that long to meditate. And if you can daydream, I promise you can meditate. I'm going to have on my website next week, it'll be released, some MP3s that you guys can download for free of various meditations that I'm working on right now to help you learn to meditate. These are what we call guided meditation, where I take you and go, okay, everybody relax. Breathe in, breathe out, breathe in, breathe out. And I walk you through the meditation to help you clear your mind. And usually these take a little bit longer, maybe about 10 to 15 minutes. But once you get in the habit and practice of meditating, when you're doing your prayers or your conversation with God, guess what happens in the meditation? Come on, you guys, guess. You get your answers. It's where you get your clarity to get your answers so you can move in a different direction. When I struggle and I am not able to meditate, I get really frustrated because that's when I really want my answers, is during my meditation, and I know that. So when I'm struggling, yeah, I struggle with meditating. I go outside, put my feet in the grass, go rake leaves, do something in the yard, get my hands dirty in the dirt, so that way I'm reconnecting with Mother Nature. Because that's when I'm not able to meditate, I know it's because I'm not what we call grounded. And we all have to be grounded in order to be able to meditate and have a really solid meditation. I'm also going to have on my website some 5-minute meditations that you can do in the shower. And you're going, I don't have time when I'm in the shower. I'm focusing on scrubbing my body clean. Sure you can. While you're scrubbing, instead of singing, it feels good, da 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 da, that's when you do your meditation. While you're in the shower. Mahalo ke akua. Mahalo na amakua. Mahalo na kapuna. I am so grateful. You know, just need to do a meditation. Just relax. Just have those short conversations. As you continue to have those conversations in the shower, you will find that the meditation comes easier. It comes natural, second nature. It's one of my favorite places to meditate is in the shower. Because it's like I'm washing away the dirt from my body, but I'm also washing away the negative thoughts from my mind. So think about it, you know, when you're cultivating a garden and getting the dirt ready, you know, you take out all of the weeds that you don't want growing in your garden. So that's basically the same thing you're doing when you're meditating. If you do it in the shower, you're taking all that trash off of you. And it's just going down, down, down in the drain. So what's left? Pure thought. Clean, pure thought. Okay. Some of you guys are going, yeah, whatever. But no, seriously, think about it. If you're focusing on getting clean and getting clear and what you're wanting in your life, how much easier is it going to be while you're in the shower getting clean? That's part of the reason that I love the shower. I just, that connection with water, that fluidity of it, it has so many different messages and metaphors and analogies, water does. So pick one. I've given you a couple, but just pick one. You know, just the flow, the cleanliness, the ease. Because one thing about aquarium maintenance, if you've ever experienced a leak in a fish tank, one thing you will discover, water goes, how does my husband put it? Let me rephrase that. It looks for the easiest way for it to get out. And that's the beauty of meditation. And that's what you need to do, is look for the easiest way things are going to flow in your life. Sure, we're going to have challenges because you didn't step through the door. Keakua says, okay, walk this way, like Steven Tyler, walk this way. So if you don't walk this way through the door, yeah, then you're going to walk into the door. So yeah, you're going to have a little bit of challenges. But if you have a plan of attack, per se, being one of those parts of your plan, your toolbox, then your path is a lot easier, and it'll be like water. It'll go and it will flow easily or easier for you as you work your path. You know, there's people that say, oh, well, you know, it comes easier to those people, not us. That's not true. It comes easier to those who practice what they preach. If you continue telling that same old sad story, oh, I can't because, you know, good things don't come to me, I don't deserve them, whatever, 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 they're not going to. But when you just change your thought and say, you know, thank you, Keokua. Today's been a great day. I'd love more days like this. You're not being real specific. That's okay. Keokua knows today was a great day for you and you want more of it. So guess what? You're going to get more of it. And then the next day that you feel good, I didn't say tomorrow, but the next day that you feel good and you go, Keokua, God, this was a fantastic day. I want more days that are like this. And that enthusiasm and how you feel and that emotion and that gratitude that you share with Keokua, he's going, oh, yeah, baby, not a problem. Got you set up for, you know, a week from Tuesday, going to have another fantastic day. So a week from Tuesday comes and you go, oh, my God, this has been the best day ever. Thank you so much, Keokua. It is fantastic. Love these days. Thanks. Looking forward to more of them. And then you notice every day is a little bit better or a little bit more fun, or actually how what I was thinking, a little funner than the day before. And you notice that instead of things that went wrong, you're focusing on the things that went right. So you sat in traffic for an extra 30 minutes, but it wasn't you in the accident. If you would have been further up, that could have been you. And you're like, oh, Keokua, thank you for protecting and watching over me and that I was not involved in that accident. If I would have been on schedule, I would have been in that area. As you take your daily life and you look at things that happen, you can get all pissy and bitch, moan, groan, and complain. And you're going to get, guess what, more of the same. Or you can be grateful and take that lemon, turn it into lemonade and go, oh, thanks, Keokua, for watching out for me. I couldn't even begin to tell you how many times this happened to my husband and I. My husband will complain and I'll look at him and I'm like, seriously? And he goes, what? He goes, we're running late. I said, nope, divine timing. Everything happens in divine timing. One day we had to call a client and reschedule an appointment. We didn't know why, but we just had this feeling of we cannot go take care of this client in the morning. And so we messaged and let them know that we had to reschedule for later in the day or on a different day. The client opted for a different day. It was going to work out good for her too because she had something else that she was wanting to do but was needing to wait for us to show up for the aquarium service. So this freed her up as well as delayed us going into this particular area. When we were listening to the news, because we had the beauty of being able to not leave early in the morning to go do this client, we heard that there was a bank robbery two blocks from our client's house. And so so I told my husband, oh my gosh, he goes, what? I says, this is just two blocks away from our client's house. He goes, oh, no wonder everything looked familiar. But he wasn't realizing what part of town it was. There's certain things that are always familiar. You know, banks have their same logos and schools and grocery stores. Everything kind of looks alike because they have their branding. And I go, dude, that was just two blocks from our client. Oh, my gosh. I am so glad that we listened to our na'au. We trusted Keokua and called her to let her know that we weren't going to be able to come in the morning, that we could come in the afternoon or another day. He goes, no joke, no joke. He goes, because we would have been right in the middle of that hot mess. And this guy had robbed the bank, held up two people, stole two cars, all kinds of craziness. But, you know, so my husband and I both were first, you know, because I was like, when I told him, oh, my God, that's, you know, by our client's house. I was like, mahalo, Keokua. because I was grateful that we showed up the way we were supposed to show up and not actually show up to work at the client's house. And when we did show up at the client's house a couple of days later, she was like, oh my God, she goes, did you see that on the news the day you were supposed to be here? I'm so glad that you guys couldn't come in the morning, because that could have been you guys that had your van hijacked, blah, blah, blah. And we're like, yes, we're so grateful too. But that's the thing of it. You have to know what you're putting into your garden, what kind of messages and thoughts and deeds. So if you're having issues with trusting Keakua, because you're having issues in your life in general about trusting people, you got to trust Keakua first, because I'll tell you what, when you put that trust in your toolbox, you'll know if someone is right for you. If you're looking for someone in a relationship, you'll know if someone is wrong for you. You'll know. Your gut will tell you. I call mine Will Robinson. I'm a big fan of the TV series Lost in Space, and they used to have a robot on there, and the robot would scream, "Danger, Will Robinson," and his little arms would go flailing everywhere. "Danger, Will Robinson, danger, Will Robinson." And so that's what I call mine. Whenever I, you know, I'll tell my husband something and he goes, "What?" And I'll go, "Will Robinson." And he goes, "Okay, what did it say, or what are you feeling?" Because after 25 years, he knows that my Will Robinson has not led us astray. And since we trust and follow and believe Keakua and trust our Na'al, he's like, "Okay, what am I supposed to pay attention to?" And that's just practice of trusting Keakua and trusting your Na'al. So those are two things that belong in that gardening toolbox that you have while you're garden. So you're sowing your garden. You know, just like a farmer needs a tractor and a hoe to make the pretty little lines in the dirt. Those are two that you need in your garden, is trusting Keakua, trusting your Na'al. Because when you trust and believe, he's not going to let you go nowhere. You know, he's not going to jack you up. I couldn't even begin to tell you how many times I've been in strange places throughout the United States, got myself in what's considered in bad parts of the town kind of thing. But I have felt just as safe and as blessed as the good parts of town, whatever that looks like. Why? Because I trust Keakua. You know, and yeah, I'm not going to get out there and be ignorant and going, "Oh yeah, you know, I can go anywhere." That, you know, that's part of ego and vanity. When I trust Keakua, he puts me in places where I need to be when I need to be there. And so that's what I'm saying is, you know, there's places that you can go that people say, "Oh no, that's dangerous." But you know that you have to be there for a reason, or you need to show up for somebody for a reason. So just follow that intuition, follow that inner knowing that that's what you're supposed to do. Okay, because Keakua is not going to let you falter. I recently had a friend of mine message me, and she ignored her gut, her instincts, and decided to do a business deal, and it's not working out, and now she's trying to figure out how to get out of it easily and amicably, so that way there's less destruction per se, you know, there's, and I just, you know, because she cracked me up because she goes, "I should have listened to my mother," and I'm cracking up. I says, "You should have listened to your Na'al." I said, "Now you're going to give your mom the credit instead of saying, yeah, you know, I should have listened to my gut and I didn't." And I told her, so, you know, find out what your options are. What are the easiest ways to terminate this business dealing and start over, you know? And her point was, "Well, I don't want to start over." Well, it doesn't matter. It's still a breakup and you still have to start over. So just find a different word that's maybe going to make you feel better. But in her case, you know, she's definitely going to have to start over from the situation, you know, whether the two of them can amicably agree to either sell the business or let one or the other buy them out, make sure there's no compete clause, whatever the case may be. But yeah, you know, so in her case, I told her, I said, if you would have, I said, were there signs? She goes, yeah. I go, but you wanted to do it anyway. Yeah. I go, well, then this is what you get. So you got to figure out, okay, is it really as bad as I think it is? Or do we just really need to cut ties and move on? And there's nothing wrong with that. You know, we don't like admitting when we're wrong. You know, admitting when we're wrong is when we have the most power over ourselves. I've had people tell me what my faults are, and I go, you know what? You don't have to tell me. I already know what they are. Let me list them for you. Because if you know what you're not great at, you can't have anybody tell you that you suck at it. You know, because what they're trying to do is make you feel bad about yourself. But you can only let them make you feel bad if you give them permission to. Yeah, I have my faults. I'm not the best house cleaner on the planet. But does that matter to anybody else but me? No. Does it matter to my husband? No. Thank God he and I work together to keep our house tidy. You know, I'm not the best person in the world when it comes to organizing and filing things away. I like to just let them pile. And then I'll take a day and sit and put them away. However, I have gotten a little bit better. And at the end of the week, I put all my stuff in my file folders the way I'm supposed to. You know, I've taken books that I've read, organization books and stuff. Hey, do it, touch it one time, which has a lot to do with my upbringing. My dad used to tell us, don't make me tell you twice, just do it right the first time. So some of the reason why I was the way I was because I was being rebellious to my dad. At this point, and he doesn't flipping care. He's 80. I'm 53. He's thinking, you know, if I were to ask him, you know, I'm not organized, Dad. He would go, and that's my problem. How? That's the point. It's not his problem. It's my problem if I choose to make it a problem. So, yeah, it makes my husband crazy sometimes. But at the end of the week or at the end of the day, everything's where it's supposed to be. So that's. Those are those things that you just have to work through and figure out for yourself what's easier for you, better for you. I'm currently interviewing people, virtual assistants to help me with different parts of my business because I read an article a while back about three things women are horrible about. And one of them is we try to do it all. We think we rock the world and we can do it all. And I am that person. I definitely say, yep, I can do it. And I'll load more on my plate. I load seconds, thirds, fourths, fifths, you know, and my plate where everybody else might have a little plate of things to do and kind of all organized. Mine's just heaped. And so now I'm learning that heaped is not good for me and that, you know, it's good to have other people help me and to ask. If you don't know how to do something, ask. That's one of those things that drives my husband crazy. If the GPS gets us lost, I'm the first person. Dude, pull into the gas station. I'll ask. He's like, no, we'll find it. And I'm like, nope, pull into the gas station. I'll ask. But my parents always taught me, if you don't know, ask. If you don't know what tools you want to put in your garden, start reading books. Start watching good videos or listening to books. Dr. Dyer, Esther Hicks, Law of Attraction. Don Miguel Ruiz, love his book, The Four Agreements. It helps teach you to let go of things that's not holding that you're holding on to that's not good for you. Anita Murjani, Dying to Be Me. I was just sharing that book with a friend today. Her story is about her surviving stage 4 cancer. The story in itself, yes, it's a miracle that she survived stage 4 cancer. They thought she was on death's door. Call in all the family. She's not going to make it. And here she is alive, well, stage 4 cancer cured. But there was more in the story of how we all think that no one understands us, that we're different, that our cultural religious beliefs control how we are, how we think. And I could relate to her on so many different levels on how I felt growing up as a child, being the only child in a military school where everybody else was of either Anglo, African American, or Hispanic ancestry. So, you know, we're all different and we're all special, but we are not that different and special in the aspect that we all have feelings of not being wanted or loved or desired, or people wanting to get to know us, or whatever the case may be. But those are all furthest things from the truth. We all have purpose. We all have worth. We all know things that other people don't know, and we know how to make people feel better. That's just an innate gift within us. We all know how to do that. So, one of the things I am working on my website is books that I love to read that I've reread just because they make me feel good, make me feel better about myself, and make me realize that life is not as complicated as we make it. It really is simple. I just recently had a conversation with my best friend a few days ago, because she has been going through a lot of struggles in a trying situation right now. And as she and I are talking, she goes, you know, I've had to tell my family no. And it's just about me and my husband right now. And I said, yes. And I go, and it feels fabulous, doesn't it? She goes, yes. I go, and I told her, I said, that's funny. When you were in Hawaii, when your grandmother was ill and you went to spend her last few months with her and you came home, you and I went to lunch. And she goes, I vaguely remember that. And I said, then you told me, I'm going to be more like you, Crystal, because I want more peace, more solitude, and just more love in my life. And part of it is she was heaping seconds, thirds, fourths, fifths on her plate and not telling people no. When you start telling people no, you start empowering yourself. And because of the situation she and her husband are going through right now, she's having to tell people no. And it is so freeing for her. And she tells me, that's what you meant by telling people, just letting go and just being. And I said, yeah. I said, when we went in that lunch, and I said, girl, I'm not doing anything spectacular or special per se. You know, when people meet me, they tell me, you just have this peace and calmness about you. And that peace and calmness comes from several things. Trusting Keakua, trusting my na'au, saying no when I need to say no. Because if I'm doing something just because someone is attempting to make me feel bad, then I'm not doing it for the right reasons. I had somebody tell me the other day, oh, you need to really come down and visit mom and dad on this day. Okay, not happening. I've got other things going on. Sorry. And then they try to throw in a ringer to make me feel bad. But so-and-so is going to be down there visiting them too. Sorry. No, not available. Not. So no is a beautiful word. It empowers you to have control of how you want your life to go. So do not think saying no is a bad thing. Yeah, you're going to feel guilty. Trust me, I've done that. But the key is to know that you're empowering yourself, that you're following your dreams of what you're wanting to do. The book, The Power of No, OMG. The book is on Hay House. It very powerful book, and I recommend it highly if you have not read this book. The Power of No, because one little word can bring health, abundance, and happiness. It's by James Altucher. and Claudia Azula Altucher. Great book, The Power of No. And these are things that you're going to want to put in your garden toolbox. So that way, as you're sowing your garden and putting in the seeds of what you want in your life, then you're going to start cultivating all these dreams and desires and hopes and goals. Create these and water them and nurture them and weed out the negative and weed out the naysayers. Then you watch your life really grow and blossom. That's what life is about. It's about living. It's about being in the moment, being that blossom, that bloom, showing and sharing your story with others. If I have touched one person that has been sharing that same old sad story and they're ready to make that change, and if that one simple step is for them to start showing their gratitude every day, and then in 6 months they see improvement, in a year they see more improvement, and every day they continue to improve their life by what they measure as things being better, then I've done my job to help empower and uplift someone. Because that's all I'm supposed to do here. My purpose and of being in service and being a teacher, a healer, and a radio show host is to help give you guys the tools to empower and encourage yourself and to do what you need to do to make your life better. Whew. Okay, sorry, that one really just touched me. I want to thank everyone for joining us for the last year and a month that we've been on the air. It's been a fantastic ride for me and for Kaivi, and we've got Brenda now doing the shows with us as well. Next week, Thursday, we're still going to be at 9 a.m. Hawaii time, but if you live on the continent, otherwise known as the mainland to other people, but if you live on the continent, we're going to be an hour later because we do the time change on Sunday. So if you're in Central Time Zone, we'll be on at 2 o'clock, East Coast 3 o'clock, West Coast will be on at noon. So, and I'm going to go ahead and close out the show. If you guys would love to get in touch with me, because I would love to hear from you, my email is crystal@alohacrystal.com. My website is alohacrystal.com. It is under construction, so it's minimal at this point, but shoot me an email if you have any questions. Excuse me, or if you have a guided meditation that you would like me to help you with, specifically finding romance, finding a new job, helping you find abundance, whatever it is, you know, shoot me an email. I'll be glad to help you with a guided meditation to help get you started. To get in touch with Kaivi, his email is hoolafoundation@gmail.com. That's hoolafoundation@gmail.com. And to get in touch with Brenda, her email is brenda@brendarobards.com. I want to thank everyone for joining us this week. I hope the information that I gave you of tools to put in your toolbox so you can sow your garden has been very helpful and useful. I just thought about one other thing. Find music that inspires and uplifts you. I don't care what it is. It could be classic rock, disco, reggae, new age, hip-hop, bebop, whatever. Music is one of the biggest keys in my practice and in my life. My husband and I listen to all kinds of music, and I recommend that you do the same. So if you feel like New Age today, listen to New Age. If you feel like hillbilly music, listen to hillbilly music. Whatever you feel like moves you. One thing that I miss about the radio stations of my time period of the 70s, we didn't have very segregated radio stations. Back then it was like top 40s, which included rock and roll, disco, and I forget what other genre is considered in that. And then it was country and then the Hispanic music stations, because I lived in San Antonio growing up. And so I grew up listening to Earth, Wind, and Fire being played right after the Eagles or Bon Jovi. So this segregation of music radio stations that we have, I really care for. So I like the beauty of these things like Pandora or Spotify. My husband and I have Spotify. So for me, I have on my little Spotify list what, you know, my music, and it might have disco, country, Hawaiian music. What else do I have in there? Oh, hillbilly music and that kind of thing, because I grew up listening to all of the same on the same station. And that's what I recommend to you is, you know, or get you an iPod, download your music and just let it shuffle and play. It'll get you in different places in your life that makes you uplifted. You know, one of my favorite all-time bands is Earth, Wind, and Fire. Their style is totally different than George Clinton and the Parliament Funkadelics. Love them too. Can't even begin to tell you how many times I fell down trying to dance Flashlight on roller skates at the roller rink growing up in San Antonio. But did I give up? No. And that's why I said, you know, when I hear music, certain music playing from my growing up years, my high school years, I giggle because it takes me back to that time of learning how to do something or, you know, being crazy with my friends and going to the pizza or the bowling alley or the movies or whatever. So do things that you remember that make you feel better. And music is one of those things that does it. If you don't have access to music, invest in a small radio, in a iPod, an MP3 player, and get yourself some music. So that way, when you're in a funk, in a lull, in a place that's dark, play some music that's going to bring you out and snap you back into, you know, let's get happy, let's get boogie. There was a band, a song that I heard the other day I hadn't heard in forever, and my husband was giggling, and I go, why are you laughing? He goes, as soon as you heard that song, you were just bebopping. And I said, oh, yeah, I remember that the song played at one of the sophomore class dances I got to go to. My dad was super strict, so I didn't get to go to every school dance. But the ones that I did, I treasured because I got to go. And so if I hear a certain song that triggers that fun memory, then it's like, woohoo. So I was out there. I don't even remember what dance that we did back then. But anyways, I was a bebopping around the house, and my husband just thought it was the funniest thing. So that's what you have to do, is do things that's going to make you happy, that are fun, that are joyful, that are going to make you sing, and that are going to remind you, okay, I'm happy and joyful. How can I help others to be happy and joyful? That's what we're here for. We're here to help each other. We're all connected. If you guys aren't happy and helpful and joyful, then I'm not doing something right here on the radio station, on this radio show, because I'm here to help you get more happy and joyful. And hopefully my stories of my trials and tribulations, walking my spiritual path and being my authentic self will help you to find the steps to walk your path, whatever those are. Well, I'm signing off now. I hope you guys have a fabulous weekend. It's been a very wet and rainy week here in the North Texas area, and I am so grateful for that. I was listening to my friend Beverly Beal. The Intuitive Interior is who she is. She had a little video the other day or earlier today about the beauty of the rain and the wind, and that in the feng shui, because she's a feng shui expert, that the feng shui is talking about the wind and the cleansing. And as much as I prefer soft, gentle rain, but there's times that we have to have that blowing hard rain to just really clean things up. And the whole state of Texas has been under that wet, tornadic, crazy kind of weather this past week. And so we're really getting clean here in North Texas. So wherever you guys may be, I hope you're having a fabulous day, fabulous week. Until next week, Thursday, ahui ho, malama pono. Be well.